Welcome to Inside New Mexico. I'm Derek Underhill, and each week at this time, I have a conversation with the chairman of our Republican Party of New Mexico, former congressman of the 2nd Congressional District, Steve Pierce. Steve, you're on the road this week, so we got you on the phone.
Yeah, it's always nice talking to you, but we've got a big show for you today. In the first segment, we're talking about Democrats who are even agreeing. These are elected Democrats who are agreeing that their policies are not working. And so stay tuned for that. But we're going to be talking to Ronnie Lucero later in the show. He is the former national chair of the Republican National Hispanic Assembly and a resident of Albuquerque, talking about the electric vehicle mandates and what his experience is on those. So that's going to be very interesting. We're going to be talking about the redistricting lawsuit, big news coming out about that, and then big news about the Second Amendment lawsuit also. So stay tuned. We got a big program for you today.
Well, let's get down to it. Too many schools in New Mexico are not performing, and even the Democrats are starting to notice.
Sure. Democrat Senator George Munoz of Gallup, I know him well. I've worked with him. He's the chair of the legislative committee that is in charge of education. And he says that we're giving more money to the schools, but we're not moving the needle at all. That's because more money is not going to solve the problems. You have to take away the union control. And you have to give students choice so that they can move out of failing districts. Shut the money off to the failing districts, and you'll find that the successful districts will perform better, and they'll also get the majority of the students. That way, you improve the educational scores across the state with just one or two simple policies that Republicans would implement immediately. And so don't just take the Republicans' word for it. Listen to the Democrats as they're talking about their own policies. In a related story about a Democrat who's saying that their policies are not working, the governor of Connecticut, Democrat Governor Ned Lamont, is withdrawing his plans for the California electric vehicle mandates in that state. He had done the same thing 4 months ago that Governor Michelle Lujan Grisham put that board into place, that unelected board. She knew that it would get too much heat from Democrat elected officials, so she just creates these two boards out of thin air and gives them the power to do things that elected officials would not do. It's one of the most egregious affronts to democracy, to our system of representative government that has happened in New Mexico, and they made the same decision that the governor of Connecticut did several months ago. But they haven't turned around and backed off of it. Maybe our governor should go up and visit with Governor Ned Lamont and see why he withdrew his plan. I will tell you that in the article, he quoted the reasons that he changed his mind. Number one, the capacity of the grid. They don't have any better grid capacity in Connecticut than we do here. And so he said that that would never sustain the increase of electric vehicles. But he also said the cost and location of grid improvements was a big problem for the state, and we would run into exactly the same thing. We've said several times here that the Rio Riva County has one electric vehicle charging station. It's at the local co-op and is only open during business hours and closed on the weekends and holidays. So it just doesn't make sense that we'd mandate electric vehicles in Rio Riva County. But then he also talked about, the governor of Connecticut also talked about the negative impact on the working poor. He said that they just can't afford these vehicles. And that's the same thing as true in New Mexico, that we can't tell people who can't afford things, you got to buy it. And so the governor of Connecticut now has reversed his position on electric vehicles, and the governor of New Mexico should do the same thing. If she doesn't, then I'm simply telling the voters that you've got to vote for Republicans, because you can see this change to electric vehicles is a pattern among Democrat governors nationwide. It's just that Democrat Governor Ned Lamont of Connecticut said no more. He's not going to make his people pay for pollution that is basically occurring from outside the state. New Mexico is the same situation. Much of our pollution is going to be coming from states around us, not from New Mexico. We actually have pretty clean industries here in New Mexico. So if we're talking about Democrats recognizing that their policies don't work, you also have to recognize that Democrats just don't know how to govern. In the last legislative session, lawmakers gave the Attorney General $1 million to help find missing indigenous people, and yet the money hasn't been spent. These offices are far more than just something to reward people with. They have actual jobs that must be done. They have administration that must be carried out. And when you don't have someone who knows business and who knows how to input business principles and practices into these government agencies, then they get the money and they still don't know how to implement whatever it is they're supposed to do. And so what should be happening is that we should be helping the Native American population track down cases of missing people, and yet we're not doing that at all. And again, it's because Democrats know how to win elections. They just don't know how to govern. So again, this emphasizes the point that we should be electing Republicans if we want to change the course of New Mexico and to start seeing that these programs begin to work correctly. On kind of a bigger front, on the economy and then inflation, there's a huge article out on MSN.com, and it's talking about that viral $16 McDonald's meal that showed up on TikTok last year. Now, that video is still circulating hard over a year later because it touches kind of the outrage that people feel when they drive up to a window to get a meal that they previously had hundreds of times. I'm sure that this person had ordered McDonald's meals often in the past, and suddenly he shows his ticket for $16. 58% of Americans, this is across the spectrum, Republicans, Independents, and Democrats, 58% are saying that the Biden policies are to blame for the high prices in America. And they're 100% true on that. And so this TikTok video just won't go away. In this social media era, the outrage gets elevated and amplified, and then it starts feeding itself. And that's what's happening on this one single video from a year ago. But it points out that people are feeling the pain of the Biden policies, and they're really upset about it. That spells bad news for the president in this coming election. I continue to say that they're going to get Biden through the convention because they don't want a mess that happened way back in 1968 at Chicago at the Democrat National Convention. So they're going to get him through there, and then I think they're going to pull him off the ballot, and they will just stick someone into that spot. Now, who it's going to be, there's, I'm sure, a lot of elbowing around under the basket on that deal. That's going to be worse than a basketball game in Hobbs. There'll be elbows flying every direction, people trying to get that spot where you don't even have to work for it. But stay tuned for that, because it just looks like that Joe Biden is underwater in all of the polls. Meanwhile, Trump is getting further ahead of the Republicans, but I don't think that we're going to see another Biden and Trump matchup. We'll see where that goes, but a lot of interesting things happening in politics.
Even the left-leaning polls, like the New York Times, are now showing Trump beating Biden, sometimes beyond the margin of error. And my guess, it looks to me like, and it's only speculation, it looks to me like they're grooming California Governor Gavin Newsom to fill in that spot for Joe Biden.
Yeah, it could be, but also I know that everybody makes fun of Kamala Harris, but you can't just reject her, because keep in mind that the Congressional Black Caucus will have a big say behind the scenes, and they're going to support their candidate. And so that's a huge problem, especially since Democrats are already bleeding black voters over to Trump. Hispanic voters are moving to Trump. They may not like everything he says, but they like his common sense economic principles, where they were making more money and paying less for food. They had more disposable income than they do under Joe Biden, and that counts for a lot.
It's kind of like when you go to the horse races, you buy a racing form. He has what's called past performance. You can look at that and say, things were better. You can tell me Bidenomics is working, but I know from going to the store 4 years ago, things were better.
Yeah, and everybody in the country knows that, and they're willing to admit it. And that's the reason that the polls are showing such a negative impact on Biden concerning the economy. But as we're talking about the economy, we also have to talk about the mayor of Albuquerque, Mayor Keller. The city council sent up a resolution or a bill which basically was going to disavow the findings of the unelected air quality board that the mayor put in place in order to combine with the governor's unelected board. And they were implementing policies that would ensure that California environmental standards were in place for the purchase of vehicles. I think it's something like by 2025, so 2 years from now, it would have to be something like 32% of the vehicles had to be electric. And then by 2035, it was something like 70-75% of the vehicles have to be electric vehicles. Now, if the governor of Connecticut could get that right, surely the mayor and the governor of New Mexico could get it right.
In just a moment, we'll be talking with Ronnie Lucero, who works at a dealership that sells electric vehicles. That's next on Inside New Mexico.
Attention, New Mexico veterans. If you were honorably discharged from the U.S. Armed Forces, you've earned state and federal benefits, and the New Mexico Department of Veteran Services is standing by to assist you. State benefits include a veteran's property tax exemption, education and training, and transportation services. We can also assist with claims for federal VA benefits. The state of New Mexico and this radio station thank you for your service. More information at nmveterans.org or 1-866-433-8387.
Welcome back to Inside New Mexico as I continue my conversation with the chairman of the Republican Party of New Mexico, Steve Pierce. Steve?
I want you to listen as we talk to Ronnie Lucero again. He understands the vehicle market. He understands how jobs are created at these dealerships. He understands what's going to happen to the dealerships in New Mexico if this mandate from the governor goes into place. And so listen to Ronnie Lucero from Albuquerque, the former nationwide chair of the Republican National Hispanic Assembly, the RNHA.
Ronnie, good to talk to you. We haven't had you on in a while, and I understand you have some concerns about the governor's electric vehicle mandate.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Derek. It's a pleasure talking to you. It has been a while, and I've got some very big concerns about this mandate, but I'm not alone. Just about every single new car dealership in the industry here in the state of New Mexico is concerned about it. Of course, some won't speak up because they're concerned about repercussions, but I'm here to kind of talk a little bit and kind of inform the public if I may.
You are especially qualified to do this. You're in the car business. Tell me what your concerns are about electric vehicles.
Well, electric vehicles are, it's a whole nightmare for many different reasons. One, our dealership has had about 30 of them in inventory over the last 6 months, and we've probably sold about four of them over the last 6 months. Very expensive vehicles, very expensive to maintain, and in essence, don't really get the job done for people that have to do a lot of driving or traveling. So it's a concern that you can't sell the product, and it's also a concern that it doesn't really help the consumer in many aspects.
What about people that live in an apartment or a condo? Where do they charge the car, especially if they don't have off-street parking and they park on the curb? How do you charge your vehicle?
Yeah, for people that live in apartment complexes, it's impossible to actually connect your car to a charger unless the apartment was forced, of course, to supply with charging stations at each one of their locations. But living in an apartment, there's no possible way to where you can actually own an electric car unless you charge it at a workplace or different location. But then again, it takes hours to charge that vehicle at the same time.
That, I think, Ronnie, is the biggest issue for me. I don't have 2 or 3 hours to wait. I've got to go and I got things to do. And they want to set up charging stations, let's say, all along I-40. If you ever look when you're driving down I-40, if you get outside of Albuquerque, there's no power lines. So how would they get the power to the charging stations, and how would they keep them from getting vandalized? And let's say you have, 10 charging stations, but there's 20 cars that need to charge. And so they got to wait 3 hours for one to open up so they can charge their car for 3 hours. It's just not practical. Now, if they ever solve that problem, it might be a feasible thing. But right now, I just don't see it.
Yeah, it's not really possible. And I think you kind of hit the nail on the head. You know, if you've got multiple people that are trying to get access to a charging station and you've got a line and people are taking 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours to charge their vehicle, it's going to take you a long time to get to where you got to get to. If you've got some bad luck, the battery might die while you're waiting to get charged.
Yeah. Well, and I've been stuck on I-40 when that's happened where, you know, you're sitting there for hours and it's a hot day. So your car's running, you got the air conditioner on and you're on your phone. And of course, all those things in an electric car draw the battery down. And let's say the battery died. Well, that could happen in a gasoline car. You could run out of gas. Okay. AAA comes out with a gas can. They fill you up. You're on your way. You cannot do that. You're on a flatbed tow truck if you're an electric car and that happens.
You know, it's actually kind of funny that you say that. I went to the legislative session after the previous election as a special guest for Mr. Alan Martinez up in Santa Fe. And when I was driving back to Albuquerque, there was actually an electric car on a flatbed at a charging station. I wished I could have turned around to get a picture, but I was in the middle of traffic in a snowstorm. So, but that's a reality. And that's the scary part about it is it's not just a conspiracy theory or made up stories. That is a genuine concern, and it happens on a daily basis.
I understand you had an experience where you sent some cars down to El Paso, and they didn't make it.
It was actually a dealership in El Paso, and it wasn't because customers were buying a lot of the vehicles. It was actually a fleet deal that they had made out there, so they needed 14 vehicles. Actually, I think they needed about 20 of them. We had 14 of them, and we can't move the product. It's a $40,000, $50,000 car, and most people in New Mexico, for one, can't afford that. And then on top of that, you've got a battery expense. If you ever have to replace the battery, you're talking, between $8,000 to $20,000 to replace a battery. But To make a long story short, they sent down a flatbed truck to pick up 8 of the vehicles, and they also sent 6 drivers to drive the other 6 back. When the vehicles left our dealership, they were fully charged and ready to go. By the time they got to Socorro, they had to stop and charge in Socorro because they didn't have enough energy to make it past Tier C. And keep in mind, these vehicles are supposed to get 300 miles. But when you're running these cars, the air conditioner's on or the heater's on, you got your radio on, headlights, blinkers, anything that you use that uses power drains that battery, so it dramatically reduces the distance that you can travel in these electric cars.
I know when it's real cold outside, NiCad batteries don't last as long. Is that the same for lithium batteries in the cars?
It is the same. You know, when you look at data that's given to the consumer, it probably changes by about 15 miles. But in reality, when you speak to these people that use these cars on a daily basis, it affects it a little bit more than 15 miles. I'd say anywhere between 50 to 75 miles. And if you buy a car that's got a 300-mile charge and you're losing 75 miles on it because of the weather, that makes a big difference to what you can and can't do with it.
How about quick charging? I know on regular batteries, you do that too often and it degrades the battery's capability to charge up fully. Is that the same on lithium batteries in the cars?
That is correct. And that's the other part about it is typically you're supposed to get about 8 years out of the battery in an electric vehicle. But of course, it really depends on how much you use it and what you're using the vehicle for. But I've seen vehicles that have come in after 3 to 4 years needing a new battery. And you're talking literally between $8,000 to $20,000 to replace a battery on an electric vehicle. So it's very expensive to do, and most people in New Mexico don't have the money to do that. Now, on a side note of that, there's also no electronic service warranties available for that vehicle. So all you can really get is a factory warranty on that vehicle because none of the extended warranty companies provide a service for electric vehicles. So if that battery goes out, you're on your own.
Well, Ronnie, I appreciate your time, and we'll look forward to talking to you again soon.
Thank you, Derek. It was a pleasure talking to you.
It's great hearing from a friend of mine, Ronnie Lucero. He works tirelessly to help convince Hispanic voters that they belong with the Republican Party, that we're the home for them, that the Republican Party is the one that shares their values, the values of strong families, the values of faith and defending the unborn. Just all of the conservative and traditional values of Hispanics align with where Republicans are today. But he also works in the automobile industry, so he speaks with authority and knowledge. Now, the Albuquerque Journal continues to weigh in on this issue of the unelected boards who are making these key decisions in New Mexico, requiring more and more owners of cars to buy electric vehicles. Again, we've got the same problems that Connecticut has, the problems of the electric grid being able to sustain the charging of that many vehicles, that kind of an increase in the electric vehicles in New Mexico, but also just the cost on the working poor. There is no way people making $50,000 a year can afford to buy an electric vehicle that's going to cost something like $60,000. That's the Blue Book price. But on top of that price, another $50,000 that probably the taxpayers are going to be paying. So a vehicle roughly in the $110,000 cost range, that's just out of reach for most working families in New Mexico. And that's the reason that fewer than 1% of the vehicles registered in New Mexico are actually electric cars. So this elitist position that the Democrats are taking forgets the people who vote in New Mexico. It forgets the citizens of New Mexico and instead aligns our Democrat leadership with the national leaders who represent areas where the per capita income might be $100,000, $200,000, $300,000 a year. And so they take this elite viewpoint that everyone should have to live by their beliefs, not by our own budgets. And so just understand that if you elect Democrats, it's going to be that way. Especially Democrats in New Mexico, because they don't really worry about backlash at the polls. They don't worry that the voter is going to change their pattern because they have changed it so few times in the past. But my belief is that New Mexico is changing from the bottom up, and we're going to see a different electing pattern take place over the next decade. I think that New Mexico will end up being red, just like Arkansas changed to red. Louisiana changed from blue to red. Florida changed from blue to red. Kentucky has moved into the red state category. I think that you're going to see the same thing in New Mexico because the values of the people don't align with the progressive policies that the Democrats are supporting nationwide. They forget the people in the state. They make their party the national party, not the state party. And I think that's going to hurt them in the long run.
And just to confirm again, I know I mentioned this last week, you sound like you're down on electric cars. As a Republican, if somebody wants an electric car, you certainly have no problem with them going out and getting one. They're not going to ban them.
No, I don't mind what people choose. They can drive a golf cart for all I care. What I care about is the fact that the government, in this case, the Democrat governor and the Democrat mayor of Albuquerque, are forcing electric vehicles down the throats of the consumers. In the U.S., we're all about choice. We're about the free market. Free market means that we can freely choose what we want to spend our money on. And so that's what I'm for. I have friends that drive electric vehicles. More power to them. I also get to hear the complaints that they talk about. So, no, I'm totally satisfied with however people want to spend their money. I just, as a Republican, would not mandate how they spend it. And Democrats will tell you how to spend your money, how to raise your family, and what you got to believe. And they're on the track to stop our freedom of speech and to stop our freedom of religion. I don't think that's where most Democrats in New Mexico align, and that's the reason that I say that we're on in a major shift moving towards Republican principles by historic Democrat voters.
I'm curious why, and we can only speculate, but if the governor passed these rules on how many electric vehicles must be sold in the state, what's the point of the mayor of Albuquerque doing that unless he's thinking about the next step in his career?
I think that probably they combined together and they felt like they had to have a 1-2 punch. The governor would bring the whole state, but I think that they felt that they needed a more concentrated push inside Albuquerque. So yes, the mayor may be thinking about running for governor, but I think they also needed the local strong push from an Albuquerque board, not just the statewide board.
In just a moment, we'll get an update on the lawsuits that the Republican Party of New Mexico has filed, on the redistricting of Congressional District 2 in New Mexico, and on the governor's gun ban in Albuquerque. Next on Inside New Mexico.
National Guard and Reserve members are true leaders, both in the military and in the workplace. They are highly skilled and get the job done every day. Employer support of the Guard and Reserve, ESGR, can help you recruit top-notch service members to your workforce. Hiring Guard and Reserve members is good for your business and good for your community. Visit esgr.mil/employers to learn more.
Thanks for staying with us on Inside New Mexico. Now let's get that update on the redistricting lawsuit you filed and also the governor's lawsuit about not carrying guns in Albuquerque.
So in a very disappointing decision, I'm sure that most of our listeners have heard, but the Supreme Court upheld a Democrat-drawn congressional map. And so I would just tell you that it's only Republicans, not the state Supreme Court of New Mexico, not the Democrat-controlled legislature, not the Democrat governor. It is only Republicans who are fighting for the fair representation for all voters, not just Republican voters, but conservative Democrats and for independents. And sure, we are hoping that Republicans have a fair voice. The Supreme Court acknowledged that the Democrat plan weakened and it diluted the Republican vote. It acknowledged that it diluted the vote that would support the oil and gas industry. It acknowledged that gerrymandering did occur. The Supreme Court just said that the Democrat candidates are not embedded in that district. They used as their reasoning the fact that the last election was close. Well, that's ludicrous because the last election was close because you had a popular incumbent Republican running against an unknown Democrat. And so they are able to give a wink and a nod and let this horrid redistricting bill stand in place over something that is a one-time occurrence. That is a popular Republican running against an unknown Democrat. From now on, the Democrat will be the incumbent, and they're going to find that they are embedded, and that's to the disadvantage of conservative voters throughout the state of New Mexico. It's to the disadvantage of our oil and gas industry. It's to the disadvantage of the taxpayers who are going to have to shoulder the burden when the Democrats kill the oil and gas industry in New Mexico. And I know people say, well, they would never do that. I watched in West Virginia as elected Democrats have killed the coal industry in West Virginia. That's what turned West Virginia from heavy blue to heavy red in one election cycle. And so just know that don't wait until it's too late to elect Republicans. We will fight for your jobs. We'll fight for your freedom. We'll fight for the right for your vote to count. And so understand that that's what's going on with this redistricting lawsuit. Also in the Second Amendment lawsuit, when the governor first said that the Second Amendment doesn't apply in all cases, that she had the right and maybe even the responsibility to overturn the Second Amendment, like she could change national and federal law by herself, that many groups filed suit. The problem was that they filed a suit on the language as it stood. The Republican Party of New Mexico, the NRA, and all of the elected Republicans in the state, both House and Senate, joined forces to file a lawsuit that attacked her underlying assumption that she had the right under the public health orders to do whatever she wanted to do to overturn the Constitution. And so our lawsuit, we received notice that it's moving forward, and the courts are going to hear that. So stay tuned, because the Republican Party of New Mexico had the only lawsuit that survived the last month. The others have kind of withered away because they didn't exactly apply, and she changed the language, and so their lawsuits were basically null and void because of the change of the language. So stay tuned, because that hearing is going to be very soon, and we'll know the outcome of that. So a lot of things to talk about today. Again, thanks to Ronnie Lucero for being on the program today, and thanks to you, Derek Underhill, for producing and recording these and all the work you do every week to inform the voters of New Mexico just what things are happening.
Well, thank you, Steve. I do enjoy it. I also want to thank all the radio stations around the state that play the program each week. If you've been listening to the program and would like to find out more about the Republican Party of New Mexico, you can check out the website. It's newmexico.gop. The party has a Facebook page and an X account. The handle is @NewMexicoGOP. If you would like to speak to someone in person, you can call party headquarters in Albuquerque at 505-298-3662. That's 505-298-3662. For Steve Pierce, I'm Derek Underhill, and we look forward to meeting with you again at this time next week, right here on Inside New Mexico.